So, right off the bat, I was kind of looking forward to spending some time in the States, but by the end of August that year, we were deployed down to Panama, and it was only supposed to be a four-month deployment. What they do is, I know it's changed. I'm not sure exactly how it is now, but what they had done prior was they have a permanent duty station down in Panama, and what they do is they take and deploy a battalion every 4 months or so, and that battalion brings one company, and I believe there were two other companies, us and the 118th MP Company out of Fort Bragg, that were deployed there for 4 months. And what we do is companies there for you work law enforcement and you work riot control. You have to work on riot control. And we went down there. I mean, we also did some jungle patrols where you go out and you go through the jungle patrol where there's a problem with Panamanians going into the housing areas and actually taking out washers and dryers and stealing them through the jungle.
Oh my God. So
we had to go through, and I mean, we just did jungle patrols, and you know, they told us some things about these are some alleys that we think that they come through, and plus it's just experience. I mean, not too many people, you know, where I come from anyways, even though what the jungle looked like, they only see it on a movie or read about them in the book. So, you know, it was interesting. There's a lot of huge spider webs that y'all believe that you wouldn't believe. And we got to see a three-toed sloth. And three-toed sloth is just, it's a jungle animal. And they have three toes, and they're probably the laziest animal on earth. And they have fungus growing on them because they don't clean, and they just move like an inch at a time. It's really amazing.
Are they big?
No, they're about the size of a small monkey. But it's just interesting what you see. But, you know, those are just things we did. We were also, they also had what they call a QRF, which is Quick Reaction Force. And when you're on that, you have, There's four different levels of it, and each platoon takes it. There's four platoons, and each platoon has a day or a week of QRF1, QRF2, QRF3, QRF4, and what that is like the first QRF, you have to be prepared to move out in case of an emergency within 10 minutes. I mean, you have to have your stuff there, you're dressed, it's 24 hours, so, you know, you have to be able to respond just like that. And then the next one, 20 minutes, QRF3, you know, 30 or 40 minutes, and QRF4, so on and so forth like that. So, one thing did happen to my platoon. On October 3rd, some people tried to overtake Noriega. It was a coup attempt. And my platoon was QRF1, so we were on duty. I mean, we had our stuff on, ready. We were, you know, ready to leave in about 10 minutes. And we were going up to, we had to go up to the, I can't remember the name of it. It was the headquarters, Southcom headquarters. That's like the big, the four-star general works there. I mean, that's like the headquarters of Panama, total, the Pacific and the Atlantic side. So, we had to go up there and secure Southcom area for the infantry to come in and with their tanks and stuff. And we got up there and you could actually hear rounds going through the air, buzzing through the air up above your head. I mean, they were just shooting at each other and everything. And you had Panamanians say, "Please, we want to fight." You know, they wanted to fight against Noriega, and they wanted you to give you their weapons, but you couldn't do that because you didn't know if they were going to turn on you, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was kind of sad because you could see in their faces that they wanted to get rid of him, but there's nothing you could do about it because it was, you know, it was their country's problem, mm-hmm. you know, at that time. So, but the whole time we were there, they have different levels of security, I guess is what you would call it, where you had A is the worst. A, B, C, and D. Okay, A is the best. That's where the level of what do you want to call it? Safety, as far as not having to worry about any problems as far as them retaliating against us and everything. And the whole time I was there, I think it got down to B. One time we got to go out to the beach one day, but the rest of the time it was always up in C and D. You know, there was just always that tension there between us and Panama and Noriega, and it was really, you could really feel the stress, because one of the areas that we had to work, Panamanians, we had to work gate duty with them. So, you know, you were there with Panamanians, actually, mm-hmm. you know. And even though they weren't all there for, you know, they weren't all for Noriega either, but that was their job, just like it was my job to be there. So that was interesting. But, and we were, when it came up to December, we were supposed to be able to fly out. And, we were told we were going to get to be home for Christmas and everything, and they said, well, I'm sorry, you can't, you know, you can't leave, you know. And what had happened was the battalion that we deployed with had already left. And, see, after the coup attempt, they had sent one more MP company from Fort Drum, I believe is where they were from, to augment, help us out, because we were just constant, I mean, we were working 12-13 hour shifts, 12 hour shifts that, you know, they turn into 15 hour shifts because you're an hour ahead, you have to get your weapons and stuff and get your vehicle ready to go out, and then it takes you a good hour to get back to your, you know, to your company and everything. So it was just constantly, you know, you hardly got any days off. So they had sent another company down to help us with QRF, and we had MRS, which is mission route, MSRs, mission supply route. And what that was where the U.S. people would drive back and forth, you know, from home to work and everything. So we still had Americans working at the canals and everything. So, when we were told that we couldn't leave, the new battalion had already come in, and all the new companies had already come in, and so they really didn't know anything about Panama. They'd only been there for maybe a week, mm-hmm. and it was us and the Fort Drum Company it was us two, and the only other people that were experienced with Panama was the permanent duty people. So we ended up having to stay for just cause. And when we were told that we couldn't leave, I mean, we all kind of knew something was going down, but we weren't for sure. I mean, there was always that question, mm-hmm. and because you just never know what's going to happen until it happened. Mm-hmm. And I believe we went in on the 18th of December. And it turned out that we went out, I believe, at 11:30 that night. And, let's see, 17th, 16th. Yeah, because we had a day. We were told, we were planning on leaving on the 16th, and we were told on the 16th, you have to unpack. We were packed up, customs had checked us out. And we were, you know, given the green light to fly home. So we had to unpack, and we had the 16th and the 17th, I believe. We unpacked everything, and we loaded our vehicles and everything, full combat load. And, you know, we had all the cases for the M60. I mean, we had, when we got ready to go out, we were full combat load. I mean, we had like six magazines of rounds, and we had like three or four magazines of 45 rounds, you know, and M16 rounds, and you know, we had some grenades and grenade launchers. You know, we had all the ammunition for them, and smoke grenades. I mean, full combat load. And then what happened was, it was like early the 18th of the morning, the 18th, our company commander had gone, and he was briefed. We didn't know any of this until afterwards. So he was briefed that morning, you know, look, this is what's going to happen. And he was not allowed to tell his platoon leaders until a certain time the next day. So he couldn't tell them till like, say, 5 o'clock that night. So he had to keep that to himself till 5 o'clock that night. And he asked at 5 o'clock, he told the platoon leaders, and they couldn't tell anybody until 6 o'clock that night. And then once they told their platoon sergeants, they couldn't tell the soldiers until, you know, so it was just, I mean, that's how they worked it, you know. It was totally, completely top secret until, mm-hmm. You know, until a certain time, and that's when all the commanders had to tell their lieutenants, and lieutenants tell their platoon sergeants, and then they brought all the platoons in. Each platoon went to a different, you know, to wherever, and we all talked about it. So, they told us, and we knew that, I believe it was at 2100, which is 2300, which is 11 o'clock, we started getting ready. I mean, we had the camouflage on our face and everything. You know, we had our rucksacks packed for at least 2 days, maybe 3 days, you know, of stuff, extra mm-hmm. underwear. Yeah. Lots of us needed those. But, and socks and stuff. So, and then we went out, and it was really weird because I never did think about it, but a lot of people wrote letters, you know, to their family saying, you know, hey, if anything ever happens, you know, I just want you to know I love you and everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't. I never even thought about it, but a lot of people mm-hmm. did. And then we went out, and like my platoon, we had to go out and secure an intersection. And we got out to the intersection. If there's usually a PDF, which is Panamanian Defense Force, is what they're called. That was what we call the police, you know, mm-hmm. PDF, that's what they were called. And at this place where we were going, if they were usually sitting there. If they were there, we had to either take them prisoner or take them out, you know, mm-hmm. whatever we had to do. And we got there, and there wasn't anybody there. So we got there, and LT was calling out, telling everybody, you know, where she wanted the roadblocks, and we pulled up, and we were fired on. We got shot at, and it was, like, really weird. It was like, man, you know, this actually happened, mm-hmm. you know, and you just kind of, like, I mean, you almost want to freeze for a second, but mm-hmm. you know, I mean, your instinct is to get out of the vehicle and get low on the ground, you know, and mm-hmm. find out where the fire's coming from. And we're thinking that probably what happened was some of them might have come from the Air Force, but I know that because the Air Force had a place just across the street from there. But I know I saw rounds, and other people saw rounds coming from the housing area. To this day, nobody knows actually where they were coming
from.
So
it didn't hit anybody, though?
Not at that time, no. Mm. And so we got out, and there wasn't any more rounds fired. And next thing we know, LT was, the platoon sergeant was trying to make contact with the company, because we were like one of the first ones out. Mm-hmm. And so not all the communication was up just mm-hmm. yet, you know, because our mission was to secure that intersection and keep anybody except for U.S. people to come back into the housing area from congesting the streets because they wanted it clear for the infantry guys to go through into downtown without any problems. So she's starting to tell everybody what she wants, and next thing we know, there's some PDF cars coming down the hill. And the first car was, they were scared, you know, they didn't give us any problems. And we got them, and then another car came down, and they were wanting to fight back. They didn't shoot at anybody, but they, you know, you could tell they didn't, you know, they were scared, and they were talking on the radio and everything.